Fuel.
Yeah. What? Let's just make sure this up. Cycling Oklahoma. Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode. This one is another doozy because it's me and Alan talking a bunch of nonsense. So if you liked round one of me and Alan being fools, then you're going to like round two because it's more of the same. We did a little few little things different where we talk. We kind of have a little bit of a structure on this episode, so that's good. But we at the end, we had asked questions on our Instagram pages and got some questions that people wanted us to answer or topics people wanted us to talk about. That section, as of now, it's a working title, is Conversations with Dumb and Dumber. So that's towards the end of the episode. I think you will enjoy that. But if you like listening to two fools ramble, then you will love this episode and thoroughly be entertained. Hopefully we'll do more of these episodes. They're a good time and it seems that we get a lot of good feedback. So that's always fun. But thanks again for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Exciting, super exciting news. We have our first sponsor. And I wish I could put in clapping noises. Maybe I'll figure that out. But we have a sponsor. And this sponsor is allowing us to upgrade with the money they spent. Like I said, I'm keeping this very transparent. This money is not to put into my bank account. It's to go back into the cycling community. So I was able to get some new equipment. So we'll be able to do better episodes with interviews. So now we can record with four people at once instead of just two. So we have super exciting things coming with them stepping up. So more overhead door. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but I guarantee you know the two guys that run that business and they are cyclists themselves. So Aaron and Brandon stepped up and just want to help continue to move cycling in Oklahoma forward. And I cannot thank these guys enough. So more overhead door. It's a garage door company. They service everywhere in the metro. And you know, we always want to support and take care of each other. And this is a great way to do it. They cover everything garage door related. I don't know if you've ever had your garage door go off track. I have, or the spring brake. I have. Totally sucks. You can't do anything about it unless you have a clue what you're doing. I do not have a clue what I'm doing when it comes to garage doors. So these guys can take care of you. They have an outstanding reputation. Most of you know I work at the Better Business Bureau. They have an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. This was before me, had nothing to do with me, but they are accredited. So that means a ton. They're a trustworthy company and they can do everything. I don't know if you've ever backed into your garage door with the storms that roll through, they get beat up with the wind and hail and all that kind of stuff. So they can take care of everything. Repairs, new installs. If your kid leaves a skateboard or bicycle and you like shut the garage door on it and tear everything up, they can help you out. If you're building a new house, and you want to shop and look at some different styles and different designs to go on your pretty new house, they can help take care of you for this. So more overhead door, they're located in Moore, but they service everywhere in the metro. So M-O-O-R-E, overhead door. Their phone number is 405-799-9214. 405-799-9214. You can look them up on bbb.org, but it's Moore, just like the town. Overhead door, check them out. Support two guys that race their bikes every single week in all kinds of disciplines, and they're supporting us and supporting what we are trying to do in the cycling community. So if you're looking for anything garage door related, hit these guys up and support them because they are supporting us. And I cannot thank these guys enough for stepping up and helping out. So with all of that said, thank you so much, guys. Brandon and Aaron, I can't thank you guys enough. And hopefully the cycling community thanks you as well by sending you some business. Mention that you heard it here. Let's see if we can keep this going. And we will put their money to good use to support the podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy this one. Please subscribe, share this with your friends, give me topics and ideas for guests or things you want us to hear us talk about. Even Rai Rai out in Bentonville, Arkansas, sent me contact information for someone who would be a great interview in Tulsa. So I love suggestions. Send them to me. If you think this sucks, let me know how we can make it better. But thank you so much for everyone that is a part of this fun little journey. And don't forget, if you have any garage door needs whatsoever, Moore Overhead Door is who you need to get a hold of. 405-799-9214. Hope you enjoy the episode. Mr. Doctor?
Doctor.
Doctor, is that how you like to be called? Okay.
It is for today.
Okay. Mr. Doctor.
Mr. Doctor.
Uh-huh. I would like to welcome Dr. Do you go by Dr. Gravel? Dr. White? How would you do that?
All of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like welcome back. It's been too long.
It's been too many months. Yes.
And you've been requested by tens of people.
Tens of people.
Welcome back. So welcome back.
It's crazy how many idiots out there on Instagram land actually want to hear and listen to this thing.
I know. And they want to listen to us make fun of them.
Uh-huh.
And or someone they know. Yeah. We make fun of them. They're like, oh my God, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would never recommend someone making fun of me.
Hey, you called me out. Yep.
I know. And I think it's hilarious. Yeah. But people. Bless them.
Yes.
Bless them. But we are enjoying a cold beverage while we're doing this. Right now we have Lively and we have Angry Scotsman in front of us as well. It's actually pretty good.
Which one did you get?
Oh, I got the same one. Yeah. The Lively, the Mexican lager. It's pretty good.
So a little sort of Irish pet peeve here. So this is a Lively Beer Works Mexican, what do you call it? A lager?
Lager.
There's not two R's in there. It's not L-A-R-G-E-R.
Lager? Like Warsh?
Yeah, Warsh.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it's the Oklahoma lager.
Lager. Uh-huh. Yeah, getting in trouble for that back home.
Before we get this started,
yep.
We'll definitely cheers to, we've lost two athletes in our tiny little Oklahoma City community very recently, two to very different and tragic circumstances.
Yep.
But Curdo was a legend in the cycling community and touched many, 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 many lives.
Yep.
And Barrett Ellis and his wife Megan, who recently passed away in a small plane crash, which was like a week ago.
Yep.
Out at Wiley. So Barrett, for anybody that didn't know Barrett, he was a multi-sport athlete, had done quite a few races around, and I trained with him a handful of times. We knew each other just socially through that stuff, and swam together a handful of times and raced together quite a few times and stuff. But just like Curdo, was an absolute huge stand-up guy.
Yep.
Like the nicest of the nicest to people.
Yep. People taken too soon.
For sure.
Far
so
too soon.
I didn't make it to Barrett's memorial thing last night, but we both went to
Curdo's.
Oof,
what a turnout, huh?
What a turnout.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people.
A lot of people from every walk of life.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Coop, yeah. Which was awesome. I think it was a true representation of a life well lived.
Yeah, it really was. So when Curdo was in hospice, I hit up Aubrey and was like, hey, cool if we come over. And she's like, yeah. And Kara and said, hey, I didn't tell him I'm bringing beer and I'm bringing Fireball. It's like, just is what it is. And so Jen and I come walking into this place carrying a 12 pack of Stone Cloud Light and a 10 pack of Fireball shots. Uh-huh. And we're walking in and Jen goes, are they going to let you in here with that? And I'm like, I don't think they really care. And the nurses in there were wonderful. They saw us and they just start laughing. So we were in and drinking a beer and doing Fireball shots in Curdo's room.
I think that's exactly the way he would have wanted it.
And he, you know, he had interactions with everybody that came and visited him that week. And so he did his best to flip me off with the middle finger routinely while we're in there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, that for both those folks, it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's gone too soon.
For sure. Yep. But we wanted to make sure we acknowledged them and that they will be missed by many, many people in our small little community. So when you are out there riding and things aren't fun or things are not pleasurable, and either physically because you're doing it to yourself and or because things are going wrong, just remember that there's two guys that would love to be out there doing it.
Yep.
So just remember them and their families during this time. So now let's get on to
onwards, forwards,
the ridiculous stupid stuff that we love to talk about. We have a full list.
We do,
and I don't know if we'll get to all of it.
Though you people messaging with these questions, some will be included, some will not.
Yeah, some we have to edit out just so people don't completely hate us. We will be the messengers for some of the stupidity.
Yeah,
some of it's a little across the line.
When you post a podcast, you have to get it approved, like through Spotify. They'll just let you do anything.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah,
awesome.
All I have to do is hit the little button that says adult.
adult.
Yeah, safe for kids.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Safe for kids.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I don't think they would kick us off. I don't think we're that far. But I mean, some of the topics that come in could
Get us kicked off.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And or our bike stolen and or wheels punctured at all times. So we're wrecked on group rides.
Brilliant.
Today we are going to start with the all new G3 website. I haven't looked at it yet. I saw it come through today and I reposted it. I have not dug into the website. Have you got onto it and looked at it?
I have actually, yeah. So last night and today I was poking around on there. So for those of you who don't know, so Claire has taken over from Ray as a sort of G3 race director. And I love what Claire's doing. She's
kind of in charge of several things right now, right?
She is killing it right now as sort of female race director in this space. Mm-hmm. Between Truffle Shuffle and what she's doing here with G3 and her other endeavors. But yeah, so she is sort of paying homage to the past history of
G3. I saw the shirts.
G3. Oh, they're badass.
The shirts
aren't they?
Are hilarious. Yeah. So hopefully she sells some of those. Let's not say what they are.
Yep.
Drive some traffic to the site.
Go to the G3 race series.
I think that's what. Just type it in to the Googs.
You'll find it.
You'll find it. But yeah, look at the shirts because it's hilarious.
Yeah. And so the new website, like, it's kick ass. Mm. So they're really transforming that series to the next level.
Okay. Are they keeping it really grassroots? Or are they trying to expand it?
Keeping it grassroots. So okay. Same sort of format, 3 race series, Omnium. All those sort of types of things, but there's a route library.
Oh, I did see that.
Which
that's
is
cool.
Really cool.
Super cool.
Yep. There's the galleries of the pictures that are up there as well.
So let me ask you this on the routes. If any of it crosses private land, what do you do there? Do we know?
You got to go around it. Ride with GPS. I'll route you around it.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's awesome to find, which is kind of like what they're trying to do in Northwest Arkansas with their Oz Gravel, where they're posting routes in a central location. So maybe something kind of continues to develop with the G3 route development.
And I need to talk to Claire and some others because the stuff they're doing with the Oz Gravel and all that up in Northwest Arkansas, I think we can do it here in Oklahoma.
Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't think, between everything that's going on here, I think it's just about getting a group organized around it.
And it would just really take one person. And to be honest, I think that would be a place that we could help out with doing that and sharing the message and or bringing stuff together, bringing people together.
Yeah.
So if people have ideas, like, reach out and let us know. And
there's so many routes around sort of central Oklahoma, northeast. I was just talking with Chad on Tuesday night about I need to get out to Hinton and explore more out there of routes out around there. And he had a lot of really good ideas of, grassroots races out there, stuff like that. So, yeah.
I was on the trainer today and I was watching a GCN video of this guy doing a 400 mile ultra. And it was hilarious because I was like, it was in, they went through Cambridge and all up through there was, I don't remember it was where all they went, but it was 400 miles. And I'm like, this is the original G3.
Yeah,
and they have the race director on there. He's an old photographer guy and kind of rides. But he was like, it shouldn't be about the bikes. It's about riding your bike. He's like, you got a little single track. You got a little road. You got some adventuring. And I'm like, it's the rule of three. It's exactly what it is here, except this has been going on for a long time. And it's just, we're finally formalizing it here in the States. So it was pretty awesome. But I think what G3 is doing is being grassroots and hopefully they keep it that way.
Yeah, we'll see. It's GCN last week published the week before they'd done a sort of, these are the 10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's there.
I wanted to lead into that. I'm glad you brought it up.
There are 10 monuments of gravel. And then last week they came up with and here are the 10 grassroots. And, and I was curious and I went through and looked and the entry fee for it, there was not one entry fee lower than $150.
I think 150 was the cheapest I saw after you posted that. Went and looked, so they were for like 150 to like 300.
Like $300 for an entry fee is not grassroots.
No.
Yeah.
So what do you consider grassroots?
And I would say anything under $100 is $100 or under, that's a grassroots race,
which is ridiculous that we've gotten to that threshold.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah because I don't understand why it's so expensive, but if you go to an Ironman event, you see where money's spent.
Yep.
Like the infrastructure that they set up is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then the amount of course closures and road closures and cops and all the tents that they set up on a 100-mile bike course, like, and
you get it.
They spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand. Plus, they have to make a profit.
Yep.
On a gravel race, $150 to go ride dirt roads with zero, besides like one like pop-up table support in the middle. And sometimes they don't have that. It's like you're supported if you want your own people out there.
Yeah.
Or we'll drive your stuff and dump it into a parking lot.
Uh-huh. There's probably a number of people threshold in there somewhere too. I don't know what it is. Like you start getting north of, 500 people. Starts to become, okay, we've got to do something different here. I remember when Andy first started Rule of 399, and initially it was like, we'll let 300 people in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Andy being Andy, 300 becomes 500.
Right.
I got to let all the friends in as well. And then 500 becomes 1,000. And
it's too much.
And all of a sudden, you know, you're, you for sure have that grassroots feel. But you're a big time event
for sure.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. Yep. I mean, because I'll go ahead and put it out there right now. I will not do the Mid-South again at the price that they're charging.
Yeah.
I mean, I've told this to numerous people. Putting it on here is probably going to get me a lot of kickback and probably make me a target for many local cyclists and people that don't like what I'm saying. But it's ridiculously expensive to ride gravel roads that I can ride every single day.
And that's so folks in Northwest Arkansas and even over here feel the same way, right? Mm-hmm. So Big Sugar, Little Sugar, those lifetime events in Bentonville.
Ridiculous.
I'm not paying those prices for stuff I can go ride every single day.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
You know, and Bobby puts on an amazing event, an experience between like 3 or 4 days leading up to it, the shakeout rides, the concerts, the shutting down downtown. Like it's extremely well done.
Yeah.
It's how events should be 100%.
Yeah.
For me, it's just too expensive.
Yeah.
For what it is.
Yeah.
For, I mean, maybe if it's a one-time deal, 100% get it.
Yeah.
But how much a Steamboat?
Ooh, don't ask.
But it's the same kind of thing, right?
So when Steamboat is the perfect, how it started was, again, a grassroots event.
Mm-hmm.
When Steamboat first started, we paid $75 to enter it. This past year, my entry fee was $250.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, I get people want to make money.
Yep.
Good for them. Yeah. And it keeps selling out. So keep raising the prices until it doesn't. Yeah. I get it.
Which is so funny because I'm so anti-Lifetime and anything they do in the space. I won't pay their entry fees, but I'll pay $250 to go race Steamboat.
What's the rate? What's the entry fee for Lifetimes?
They're $250 and up. Yeah. Yeah. Leadville last year was $500.
For Leadville?
Maybe north of that, actually. Yeah.
Okay. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
The problem is there's people that will.
Yeah, they sell out instantly. Yep. So until
the market tells them otherwise.
Keep raising the price. Uh-huh. That's just business. I get it.
Yeah. Ouachita Challenge hit that ceiling everything seems like a few years ago, but before COVID, where they were bumping the price every year, and then they hit a price point where people went, nope, and they did not get a turnout for it.
Yeah. It's the only way you find out.
Yeah.
Just keep raising it until you do. But I would say grassroots. I agree. $100.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
How many of those races have you done? Was on the top 10.
All but two.
Oh, yes. Impressive.
All but two.
Good for you. I guess I need to catch up.
Yeah. And the Belgian waffle ones, those are the ones that interest me. I've never done them.
Yeah. Those things are brutal,
man. Yeah, that's what, like, watching the videos and whatnot, like, they look challenging, and I'm always up for there's no way in hell I could do that, but let's go do it.
Kind of miserable.
Yeah.
Like, they're at the distance where it becomes not fun.
Right, it's suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not in for that anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I understand.
What are you going to go do?
I understand, but, and I had that conversation with Melissa the other day, and she's like, what? And I'm like, no, I understand, but yeah, it's, but like 130 miles of mixed terrain with a lot of elevation.
Yeah.
It's a long day. My days are going to suck, but they're only going to be 5 to 7 hours
in a row,
but it's not 13 at once.
Yeah.
That's a long day.
Yeah.
Cause it would be 10 to 12,
12 hours.
Yeah. Probably easy.
Yeah. It'd be up there with Unbound 200 for sure.
Probably.
Yeah. In terms of distance.
Doesn't really excite me.
Yeah. You got to train for it, I suppose, if you're doing it.
Yep. That's true. Anything else you want to add on G3? They haven't announced anything for the races or anything?
No, there's no courses yet planned for 24. Okay. But I suspect it'll be the same sort of format, a northeast side, a southern side, and central.
Okay.
Did you do any of them this year?
I did Guthrie.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Loved it.
You missed the Hinton course. That was a doozy.
I know. I was in Hawaii. Sorry. That was
a doozy.
All the pictures that I saw and all the stories I heard, it looked amazing.
Yeah.
It looked like a great adventure.
It was one of those, because you got sort of the roadie contingent that was out there going, this is awful. Why are we doing this?
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm out. This, like, some of them quit.
That's the way it should be.
Uh-huh. And then all the sort of hardcore gravel folks going, this is amazing. Uh-huh. This is what we want.
I heard there was a lot of walking.
A lot of hike a bike.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it was through sand, which was, you know,
awful.
Or ruts. Uh-huh. You know, Purgatory Road is nothing but a rutted out road. Yeah.
It made for great pictures.
It did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, it was really good. So yeah, looking forward to that this year.
Following up with that, let's talk about, let's go into what you're doing as far as your racing and your training, because it kind of goes hand in hand with talking about G3.
Yeah.
Did you do all three of the G3s?
I did two of the three.
Okay.
So I did single speed this year, like an idiot. And Hinton on single speed was just awful.
Awful.
Yeah. Awful.
Are you doing any races this winter?
I am. So I'll do the Grodio.
Yep. Who's your team?
I'm a wolf pack of one, man.
Jeez.
Okay. I told Chad on Tuesday, I said, I just threw an entry in on Bike Ridge to get a placeholder, and now I need to start recruiting
Finding your people. Yeah. So for people that don't know what Grodio is, explain that.
It is a four-person format across 100 kilometers, so 62 and a bit miles,
mm-hmm.
Where your time is based on when the last person in your group crosses the line.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good format, and last year it was a lot of fun.
Mm.
It was super windy, but a lot of fun.
Who'd you do it with last year?
It was me, Amanda Weathers, and Paul Mays, uh-huh. and Jen was supposed to be there, but she was sick.
Okay.
And so we went into a headwind for 20-something miles on the way out, and it was pretty miserable. And then Jimmy Davis caught up to us, and he had booze, so we just started drinking.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It was a good day.
It was an awesome day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's in January.
Yep. Mid-January.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. And it's in Goldsby.
Yep.
Which is southern Oklahoma.
Yeah. There's a few folks coming down from northwest Arkansas. No, I might try and recruit the Drummonds, because if I get myself and three Drummonds.
You can just.
I'm going to get an e-bike.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I was going to say you wouldn't even be able to hang on to the back.
No.
But
yeah, I would get an e-bike for that.
Well, maybe Aubrey could ride behind you and push you.
She could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yep.
That's a good plan, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I have an e-bike lined up if that actually comes to pass.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can score you one too if you need
Sweet.
One.
Sweet.
Uh-huh. But before we get into your other races, I would like to say, and we briefly talked about it on Tuesday on the Christmas light ride.
Yeah.
I got to watch you get lassoed.
Oh, you did?
On your bike.
Oh, at the damn zombie race.
At the damn zombie race. Which, I mean, I'm glad you did not get hurt. I'm glad you were not going faster.
Yes.
Because it would have been really bad.
Yep.
But it was one of the funniest wrecks I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was one of those. We all started, and Billy and I had a plan and strategy.
Because you and Billy were doing the...
We did the team.
The six-hour relay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we knew... So Rob and Ben were...
For anybody that don't know, it was a six-hour mountain bike race.
Yep.
It's like a... What was it, like 6 mile loop?
Yeah.
Roughly. That, just do as many times as you can in 6 hours. Yeah.
Yep. Rob and Ben were on a team. And so then.
Game over.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you're fighting for second through whatever.
Yeah.
And so Billy and I had a strategy on, hey, as long as we finish, we get one extra lap in, you know, so we start a lap before the end of the 6 hours.
The way it's always been.
Uh-huh.
Every 6 hour race I've ever done in my life.
Uh-huh.
Anywhere.
Yep.
In the country.
Yeah. So I was doing the first lap, went out with all you losers at the front. We make that climb. I'm like, okay, I'm sitting good. And then we come up to where there's a cable blocking the trees.
Uh-huh.
It's like, well, shit, I got to get through this before the rest of these. I can't get caught in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's unhooking the cable. And I hear you going, hang on, Alan, hang on. And I'm like, nope, not hanging on.
Mm-hmm.
And I jump on the bike to go. And I'm going to send it down that downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing all I feel is the bike going from under me and me sailing through the air.
It was, I don't even know how it happened, but it was amazing.
The end of the cable got caught in my rear triangle
uh-huh.
and just stopped my bike dead.
Instantly.
Instantly.
Because it was attached to like a 12-inch around tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And watching you ride off, and I could see that the rope was attached to you, and everybody's yelling, and you just keep riding until you didn't.
Yeah.
And it was like, I mean, I can't say it's like pulling a rug out from underneath you, because that doesn't do it justice, but it was like full speed and you kept going.
Yep.
And the bike did not hesitate to stop.
The bike was stopped and I wasn't.
No.
Yeah.
No. You're lucky you didn't get hurt.
Yeah. And you come riding by going, that couldn't have happened to a better person.
Because no, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
When I saw that you weren't, that you stood up.
Yeah.
You were moving.
Yep. I got back on the bike and, you know, off we went.
So how did it go wrong for you guys? Oh,
so Billy and I strategy was, it was so good. Because we were doing really well and we were looking sort of at the lap times, checking it out each lap, right? Mm-hmm. We're okay, we're good. And so we were sitting, I think we were sitting fifth or sixth. And then we were into hour five and we're looking at the times going, okay, Billy, you've got to finish your lap before that thing hits, you know, six. Mm-hmm. So I can go back out, get us one more lap, which mm-hmm. will move us up into second because mm-hmm. we had an extra lap. And so poor Billy's out there just sort of sending it to get Ryan. And so I'm standing at the start finish waiting for him, and he comes around, comes down, and I'm standing there, and poor old Tom's standing there going, what are you doing? And I went, I'm about to go out on my next lap. And he goes, no, he has to, your time is when he finishes his last lap. Your last lap has to be finished before the 6 hours. And I was like, oh no. But inside secretly I was like, thank you, baby Jesus. Because I was done.
Yeah.
So done.
So the way that they did the timing was, it was different. It was different.
Yeah.
It was basically at 6 hours.
It was cut off. Yeah.
And it was done.
99% of other endurance races like that are, as long as you started before, yep,
that's it,
you got to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because the same thing happened to us, because we finished when we came through, he was pointing at the clock and we were like, I don't know why he's pointing at the clock. When we came through to go out to do the other half, we're like, okay, we just kept cruising, we were just talking, not even putting in any effort at all. So we finished that lap, we come across at 6:01:20 something, minute and 20 after, and it didn't count. They're like, no, your that lap didn't count. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So come to find out, we end up I mean, me and Saxby rode together the entire day. We end up fifth and sixth. we missed third by a minute and a half.
Yeah.
He finished at 5:59 something.
Uh-huh.
But we had zero effort those last two laps. We even stopped and peed.
Yeah.
Like, we hung
just cruising.
Just because we knew.
You got time.
We have time.
Yeah.
No big deal. And yeah, not that, I mean, maybe we get third, maybe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who cares? But still. Yeah, we did not pay attention to the rules either. Yeah.
I will say that was a really fun race to
great
do.
Great course.
Yep, I really enjoyed it.
They did a great job on that course.
Yeah, yep. I was worried on that first lap because over on that east side down below, it was a little squirmy.
Uh-huh.
But once
it got better.
It did, and mm-hmm. once wheels got on it, like it started biting, and it mm-hmm. was really good.
Well, like to add to the story of this, and then we'll move on to other things, but I have no problems with e-bikes. I think e-bikes are amazing.
Yep.
I think e-bikes should exist. They should be in races. Like, I love everything about e-bikes.
Yeah.
If I lived and went to Colorado a lot,
e-bike,
I would have an e-bike 100%.
Yeah.
So, my e-bike story of the day. The 3-hour guy. So, we're out there. We start. The 6-hour people start.
Oh, and then the
three-hour people start.
Yeah.
When we're already in Schittsville.
Uh-huh.
So, we're halfway through the first lap, the 3-hour people's first lap. So the really, really fast guys have already caught us and passed us. So, we're going into the windy tree section. And here a guy coming. Okay, cool. So Saxby's in front of me. We're riding through, and it's in an area where there's no trees. It's like really wide open, and there's like just grass, and the trail's 4 feet wide easily. So here a guy coming, kind of slow down. And I was like, okay, here you go. So which side do you pass on?
Which side do I pass on? The left.
Always.
Yeah.
Everyone passes on the left.
Yeah.
When you're on the road,
it's on your left.
Car.
I'm coming up on your left.
Every race you ever do.
Yep.
You pass on the left.
Yeah.
So we're coming through this section and hear this guy come. I was like, okay, here you go. We'll get over. So I get over to the right. I get off the dirt into the grass. This dude hits my back tire.
Oh, no.
I bet he was going 20 because it's a wide open straight section on an e-bike. Hits my back tire so flush it like whiplashes me. Then he runs off up into my leg.
Oh.
And now he's in the right bushes. He's so far right. And I was like, what the hell, dude?
What
he's like, oh, sorry. And then he like backs out and takes off, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell just happened to me? I just got like rear-ended.
By an e-bike. Yeah.
Like, what the heck? So not the last time I saw this guy.
Yep.
So a handful of laps later, he catches us again. And we're in the back section by the river where you have those like three like really steep whoop-de-whoop sections. But the river's like right there on the right. Like there's no room.
Yeah.
And it's sketchy right through there anyways.
Drop off.
By yourself. Yep. And like going through them, like you kind of, to explain to people, you kind of have these really sharp, I mean, they're maybe like 5 feet deep.
Yeah.
You just go straight down, straight back up.
Yep.
And then the last one, you go down and then it's a hard right-hand turn.
Yep.
And you go down again.
Yep.
And then you come up that.
And there's an edge right there.
There's an edge to like a 30-foot drop to the river.
And I'm not moving to the right.
No.
Yeah.
So I hear this guy coming through the trees again.
Yeah.
And I turn and I can see his bright orange handlebars. So I know who it is again. It's this guy. Because he goes so fast. He's got hand guards on his handlebars.
Oh, nice.
To keep him from ramming trees. So I hear him coming. Saxby behind me. And I get to the section and we go through the first whoop and we're coming up and we're at the river. Like if I go straight, I'm just going to run off into the river, and they have the netting up.
Yeah.
So I turn to look to see if he's, cause I feel like he's like right on us, but he's already past Saxby and he's between us now. So when I look, I kind of veer slightly to the left, but I'm on the left side of the dirt at this point.
Yeah.
Right. But still on the trail, but the trail's a foot and a half wide. And I turn left. And when I do, he starts to pass on the right, and I'm like, excuse my language, mom, if you're listening to this, but I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like, it scared me.
Yeah.
Cause his wheel was like at my leg.
Yeah.
And there's no room. So I kind of veer over, and now he almost hits the netting and he comes around, and I was like, what the fuck? He goes, hey, on your right. And I was like, no. I was like, and of course I called him an effing asshole. Uh-huh. And he's like, okay, and just waves and just keeps going. And Saxby, I think, is going to fall off his bike laughing because he thinks dying. It's hilarious. I'm so pissed at this e-biker. First off, he almost kills me the first lap. Uh-huh. Then he almost runs me over here, almost sends me into the river. And I'm like, dude, like, first off, just some communication.
Yeah.
Passing here. Hey, let me know when you can give me room. Yeah. Like, any communication would be great.
Yeah.
But passing on the right is never okay.
Yep.
Passing without telling someone is never okay. And passing in a dangerous section is never okay.
I will say, I love e-bikes. I wasn't mm-hmm. a first. Mm-hmm. Huge fan. I will say the thing e-bikes has done, which is, I mean, it's borderline dangerous, is it has given people who need skills development speed that they shouldn't have on a trail.
For sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those folks on e-bikes need to develop some good skills.
Well, I'm surprised speed. People don't get hurt.
I'm sure they hurt more than they do.
Yeah. You have to. Yeah.
Yep.
That's the biggest thing when you're getting a mountain bike for the first time. Your lungs are good, but your skills suck. So you
not
just
there.
Crash all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But man, that was my story from the zombie story.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I got crushed by an e-biker twice. Yep. He lapped me. what are your big races that you're doing next year?
Oof. So big races, really mid-size. I think we're going to go back up to Wyoming for the Dead Swede. Mm-hmm. Steamboat, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then there is a rumored...
That's what I was going to say.
Run at the Tour Divide in 24.
Okay.
That'll be an exploratory run.
Like, what are the chances that happens?
The chances of starting, pretty high.
Okay.
The chances of finishing...
The chances of you making it to the American border.
Pretty high.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll make it to Canada. Yeah. I'll be in Banff.
You'll make it up there, but will you...
You mean coming south? Well, that stretch I've done before, so I know it. Uh-huh. So I'll make it to the American border.
Okay.
Beyond that's new territory.
Okay. All right. How much does it cost for that race?
That would be zero.
It is, really?
Yeah.
They just only allow a certain number in?
It's wide open.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They have Google sheet you fill out, and that's it.
Huh.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yep. Huh? Yeah, they take a donation.
I'm going to say that's pretty grassroots.
That's very grassroots.
Okay.
Yeah. They have zero. Now, what's gotten interesting is bike pack racing has become over romanticized, mm-hmm. like thanks Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't see the suffering and sort of the struggles of bike pack racing, which is, I mean, and especially on stuff like the Divide, Arkansas High Country, like you're out there and
it looks miserable.
You have to figure out it's, you know, not just. It's less about bike training and more about mental training.
Mental survival.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the ability to adapt, right? Shit is going to go wrong. Yep. And when it does, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of lives this year.
Yeah.
So I've like watched the recap videos, and you watch like people's like little documentary videos, and those all look like, oh, this was hard. And stuff. I watched several people, probably five or six people's lives this year.
Yeah.
I've never had interest in doing it, but I've always seen the romantic side of it. I've seen like, okay, I get it. I have no interest, but I get it.
Yeah.
Watching it this year, I don't get it.
Yeah.
It is, it's a miserable grind every single day.
Yep.
Even for the good people and the slow people.
Yeah.
Or fast people and slow people. It's the same amount of misery.
Uh-huh.
Day in, day out. And it just depends on how miserable you're going to be that day.
How uncomfortable can you be?
And they're like, oh, it's so beautiful. But I can't sit down. I got this saddle sore that's so bad, and my crank fell off, and now I can't, my bottom bracket doesn't turn, and then my wheel broke, and then it's been a headwind for 4 days and raining, and now I've been walking.
I slept in a porta potty last night.
Yeah, I've been walking in the mud for 3 days. I'm like,
yeah,
this is stupid.
Yeah. So yeah, we're going to go give that a shot. Jan has said, how did she phrase it? When your ass gets to Wyoming or Montana, which I'm impressed that she thinks I'm going to get that far. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Oh, she's really giving you some credit. Yeah. Good for her.
She said, you're not calling me to come get you.
So how are you getting home?
I'll fly home.
Just ride to an airport.
Yep. Can you put this bike in that box? Uh-huh.
You know what? Just leave it here. I'll
come back and
figure
it
out some other time.
I'll drive back and get it.
Just ride to a bike shop and leave it there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man. Okay. Yeah. That's a big goal.
Yeah. So we're there's two runs. So there's a 24 that'll be sort of, okay, figure this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And then currently 25 is the, okay, we're going to race this thing.
Yeah. Do you want to say who you're
doing this? Me, Billy, and Aaron. Okay. Yeah. And Aaron's the idiot that started it all.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
What are the chances that Billy doesn't get beat up by one of you two?
We're more worried about bears.
You can feed Billy to the bears.
Yeah, that's what we've talked about is don't have to outrun the bear. Just one of the other two.
Just flatten Billy's tire. I think you'll be fine with bears. Billy won't stop talking.
That's true. Yeah, plenty of noise. Yeah. So Aaron did, it's probably
been Aaron King.
Billy.
Uh-huh.
So Aaron got this fancy ass cutthroat. It's all decked out. It's beautiful.
I saw it the other night on the the light ride.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So here about a month or so ago, I'm going to do the Trans Oklahoma. Like, okay. And so he takes Kevin Kopak with him. They go down south and trying to tell Aaron, look, on these types of things, like 12 mile an hour average, like you just need to pedal, soft pedal. You cannot go fast. And so he starts texting us. He's like, ooh, 50 miles in, and he's like, I'm averaging 18 and a half.
Oh, Lord.
We're like, you're done. You're done. You're going to blow.
18?
18 and a half.
Oh, dude.
And so they fair play to them. They made 140-something miles the first day at about a 17, 18 average.
That's brutal.
Next day, woke up, not moving.
Shocker.
Yeah. So he calls Carly, hey, come get me.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah.
It's a different world.
You have to think different.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's big goals.
Yeah.
That's some good races.
Yep. You've got a big one coming up here pretty soon. Most of us are in off season training. You're in mid season coming up to peak event training.
For sure.
Yeah.
I did an hour and 40 minutes on Zwift before we did this.
So Cape Epic.
Cape Epic.
When is it?
It's in March. I looked at the other, I think I leave March 11th.
Oof.
It's me and Saxby are going. It's an 8-day mountain bike race. The distance isn't crazy because it's mountain biking.
Yeah.
Just under 400 miles for the 8 days. Your first day is your easiest day.
Yeah.
It's a prologue.
Uh-huh.
It's 16 miles with like 4,000 feet of climbing. That's your easy day.
Oof.
Right. And then that seeds you in your corral.
A mountain bike.
Uh-huh, on a mountain bike. Yeah. So each day is between 50 and 60-ish miles, maybe low 60s.
But it's a team format?
You have to stay together.
Okay.
You can't be more than 30 seconds apart. It's 30 seconds apart. Huh. At any given time, your first time you get caught, it's a one-hour penalty.
Yeah.
Then the second time, it's, a 2-hour penalty, and then it's a DQ.
Yeah. And where is it?
Cape Town, South Africa. So the southwest point of South Africa.
And you have to go, you can't go south there. You have to go north, right?
Go north, yeah. So we kind of go north and west.
Yeah.
So the first day is in like a vineyard where it's always at. And then your then you start the race. They call it seven stages. It's eight stages. Yeah. It's a prologue and seven stages is what they call it. So your stage one and two and three start in the same spot. So one and two, you circle like a back. Loop.
Yeah.
You circle back to and stay in the same location. Stage three, you start there and ride to your next point. And then four and five are there. I think in six, and I think six, you ride to an end point. Then they shuttle you, everybody from stage six to stage seven. Stage seven and eight are in a different point.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's a lot of logistics to it.
How have you guys been training for that?
Well,
drinking beer, making lion noises at each other.
Yeah, you know, that was good. We did have lions chasing us at the damn zombie trail.
Tried to make it authentic for you.
I appreciate that. It's just been a lot of riding. So every day I get on the bike, six. I mean, last week I took off on, I don't remember what day it was. I took off Monday. I think this week was the first day I'd been off. And it's like my second day off in like 3 weeks. Mm. So it's just like, when I'm on the bike, I try to get on for like an hour and a half, 2 hours every day minimum. And then long days right now, long days, Friday or Saturday, Sunday, that will go up in my, this is my thinking in January, that'll go up to long days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
In February, at the end of probably January, middle of January, I'm going to do a big like 5 day block. In the middle of February, I'll probably do another really big 5 day block. But in February, I'll move it to where it's like Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday are big days. When I say big days, it's like a minimum of 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 to 6, somewhere in that range.
And are you doing all that on your mountain bike? Or are you doing some on different bikes?
Gravel, or pretty much everything. But I tried every time I can get on mountain, I'm going to get on mountain. So at least one big day on mountain every, just to get used to the lower back and moving around and the hands and the skills and stuff like that. So right now it's mountain bike one, maybe 2 days a week.
Mm.
And then it's just a lot of time on Zwift. And a lot of time riding. But the training's going good.
Yeah. What's your biggest worry with that race? What's your biggest fear?
Honestly, is getting like COVID or sick or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then not being able to do it just because of something so stupid.
Yeah.
So we both got COVID within the past month.
Score.
So hopefully that'll hold over. We'll get some residual effect.
Yeah.
That's my biggest fear. Like a mechanical or something. If you have a mechanical,
you can
get navigate. One scratch day.
Oh, do you really?
So that's if, cool. Like, if my bike breaks today.
Yeah.
Saxby can keep going.
Yep.
And then I can start again tomorrow. But if it happens again, you're done.
Yeah.
But if you have a wreck or something, I don't know if you get a scratch day for that.
Yeah.
But man, I just don't want to get sick. Something. No. I don't want something stupid to take me out.
Yeah.
The other one is like saddle sores.
Oh yeah.
Because
gotta figure out how to live with them. Yeah.
8 days, and it's summertime there.
Yeah.
So eight days in the heat. Riding a mountain bike, you're going to get saddle sores.
Yeah.
So just how bad are they going to be?
Yep.
And can you sit on them?
Yeah.
And so
some big name heavy hitters do that thing.
All the big ones.
World Tour pros.
A lot of the World Tour guys were there last year.
Yeah.
When they retire, they kind of seem to go do that.
Yep.
As a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be fun. Here's the cool thing is I didn't know what bike to ride because it's 50,000 feet of vert.
Right.
And so lighter the better.
Yeah.
So I have two bikes. I have a Niner, which is like an all trail bike, and I have a Scalpel, which is like a cross country bike.
Yeah.
Scalpel's like 5 pounds lighter, but it only has 100 mil travel and it's not raked out. Like,
yeah.
So that's the one I would like to ride, but I don't know if I have the skills to ride it.
Yeah.
So of course all the big pros ride an XC bike, but they have skills. I try not to die. Yeah. So I sent messages on Instagram, and this is why social media is amazing.
Yeah.
To a handful of big name people or people that have done it before. And Matt Beers.
That's awesome.
And Mitch Docker both replied to me.
Yeah.
And so basically we're all best friends now.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe they were going to be here today, but they were preoccupied.
Otherwise engaged.
Yeah. But for people that don't know them, Matt Beers, I mean, he's kind of a big deal.
South African guy.
African guy. He kind of is a big deal. Oh, and Blevins commented back.
Oh, did he
and
really?
Blevins is a short track world champion.
Yep.
He's from the U.S. and he won it last year.
Nice.
And Mitch Docker won it last year with his amateur team. So, I mean.
What was their advice?
The XC bike.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lighter, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, you are going to be miserable. You're going to be super uncomfortable. Being on a less travel bike, it's going to be faster and better. So is it comfort over?
Yeah.
And so, but I also think I like strength training and doing that kind of stuff. So I'm not like as fragile as a typical cyclist.
Right.
So I think I'll be able to withstand the beating.
Yeah.
And for me, I'd rather be uncomfortable with the beating than and be able to go up a mountain.
Yeah, so, I'd do it on the XC bike.
So that's what I've been training on.
Is it a hardtail?
No, full suspension.
Full squish?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the where Cape Epic stands. So far, training is good. We did the 6 hour. So we did a 3.5 hour hard gravel ride the day before, followed by the 6 hour. We were able to ride the whole thing.
Nice.
So we'll do it again in the 6 hour in January at Thunderbird.
That's coming
up. So we'll do another, probably a big day Friday and a big day Saturday, and then hit that. So that'll be another, probably a 15 hour weekend, and just keep piling it on.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get to some of these other fun topics where we can make fun of stuff. Let's go. All right, I want to save the funny one. Let's do Shimano cranks, because that may be affecting people.
Ooh, yeah.
So there's a lawsuit going on. People's cranks are like basically breaking in half.
Yeah.
What do you know on that?
And there's a Instagram account that's been going around for years that was, I can't remember the name of it. It was basically like Shimano's cranks or shit or something like that, right? Yeah. And basically it was a post for years of people's cranks breaking.
Mm-hmm.
Shimano would never acknowledge it, right? They're like, no, it's not a thing. And then mm-hmm. this year they came out and said, yeah, if you have a Holotech, the Altegra cranks, so they backtracked a little bit. First they said all of them, you need to go get all of them, like don't ride it. And then they were like, oh no, wait, well, take it to your local bike shop and have them inspect.
But the problem is with that, there's a whole problem with that,
right?
Is if the bike shop inspects it,
who's liable? So now there's a class action lawsuit against Shimano for this.
Well, it's it's in the millions of cranks, right?
Uh-huh. Because that was the thing, is initially they came out and said, if you have an Altegra crank that basically matches these first four digits, which was just about every Altegra crank, it's going to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
How do you replace a million plus cranks? Mm-hmm. So you have all these people showing up at bike shops going, I need new cranks. You know, I've got 4-year-old cranks. I'm going to go get new cranks.
For sure.
Damn straight I am.
Yeah.
So then they backed off of that and said, actually, your bike shop's just going to inspect them and determine if they need replaced. And then you had the bike shops going, wait, we're doing what?
Mm-hmm.
We want no part of this liability.
No, because if it's okay today, but breaks tomorrow.
Yeah.
The bike shop's screwed.
And I'm the bike shop that says, yeah, you're good. Mm-hmm. Not a chance.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Where's the lawsuit stand? Do you know?
I don't know right now. I need to go look it up. I was looking today on some Shimano stuff because I was curious, and there's Shimano has issues. And I used to be a Shimano fan. Now I'm a big SRAM guy.
Okay.
Luke will appreciate that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the Tour de France, the World Tour teams are dropping Shimano.
Oh, interesting.
Their contracts have ended and they are not renewing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep.
You're a SRAM guy now.
I am a SRAM guy.
I think I have both.
I have SRAM on everything but my mountain bike. Okay. I have Shimano XTR.
Yeah, I think I'm mixed right down the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really care to me.
Yeah.
I'm not a tech person. I'm not an equipment person. So
once I went electronic on SRAM, it was like, I'm not doing anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you electronic on everything? Oh, you fancy bastard.
Yep. As Billy calls it, the beep boop shifting. Beep boop.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful.
Can Billy spell beep boop?
No.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you do have questions, I would say, contact your local bike shop, because at least they can give you information of what to do next.
Yep.
And then go from there, because you definitely need to get your cranks checked out.
Yeah.
If you have Shimano, get it checked out.
And I know some folks who had their cranks actually break on them.
Mm.
One of them up in Northwest Arkansas, while she was pedaling, and literally the crank end snaps and she has a pedal attached to her foot.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's scary. Well, I had the same thing, but it's because my crank fell out of the bottom bracket. But that was, I think, a user error situation.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened, because I've never taken my crank off, but it did fall off one day on a group ride.
That's awesome.
It was a good thing we were going slow. That's all I know. Super hot topic.
Uh-oh.
Okay. This is a year-end review. Okay. And you even put it out there, like the Spotify situation.
Oh, yeah. Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really confused why so many adult middle-aged men have Taylor Swift in their top five.
Yep.
This is the juice that people have tuned in for this episode. And I'm sorry it's taken us 40 minutes to get there.
To get the Taylor Swift.
But
yeah,
I don't understand. Like, okay, I get it. Some of her songs are catchy. They stick in my head. When I hear them on the radio, I'm like, catchy song. I get it. Mm-hmm. I know a handful of her songs because they're played 24 hours a day. Totally understand. I'm not searching her out on Spotify.
Really?
Ever.
Oh, Alice, that's ever. Disappointing, man.
I think she was in your top five.
She was
maybe number two or three.
She was number one. Yeah. It was like Taylor Swift and then a bunch of Irish musicians. It's quite the mix. And
your Irish ancestors.
Oh, they're loving it. Yeah. She's probably Irish somewhere down the line. Yeah.
I don't understand how so many adult men
are huge Swifties.
I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean,
well, explain it to me.
I don't understand it.
Why do you?
It's one of those things, man. You just
seek it out.
Yeah. It just comes on the radio and you're jamming to it.
But if it comes on the radio, mm-hmm. I get it not change the channel.
Yeah. But it's on my Spotify too.
Because I search it on Spotify. Clearly.
It's a great Zwift playlist too.
Oh, dude.
But rule of 3.99 last year, we're in the car up the front, and Taylor Ledeen had disappeared on everybody. He's off the front, and so we're rolling up alongside him. He's got his headphones in, and I have Taylor Swift playing in the car. And so we're starting to talk to him like, Taylor, you've got to like Taylor Swift, right? I mean, she's your namesake. Surely you're listening to Taylor Swift in there. And he's like, no, man.
Mm-mm. I get it.
Yeah. And I'm like, do you even know a Taylor Swift song? He's like, nope. I said, what are you listening to over there? He goes, death metal.
That a boy. Good for him. And that's why he's leading.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So are you a Chiefs fan now?
I wasn't.
No, I am. Shut up.
Uh-huh.
It like annoys me that they put her face on SportsCenter.
Oh, she's on every, yes.
It annoys me. I'm like, I don't care what celebrity's at the game.
Yep.
Makes me no difference. Travis Kelce, good for him. I don't care who he dates.
Yeah.
I don't care who any of them date.
Yep.
I'm tuning in to watch the football game.
So if Taylor Swift was a cyclist, what would she ride? Would it be gravel?
Probably an e-bike.
Yes, that's exactly what it would be. And she'd run into your back wheel and piss you off.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's where we're going with this. God, I don't understand. Like, I feel like Taylor Swift is great for... I mean, all of her songs are about her breakup relationships and or, like, some sort of feel-good dance thing.
You got to be vulnerable, Ryan. She's vulnerable. You've got to be vulnerable. Vulnerability is the thing. You've got to figure it out.
Maybe
Taylor will help you.
I think maybe that.
Listen
maybe
to her music.
A dose of Taylor.
Yes.
So what's your favorite song and or album?
The Midnight's 3 a.m. edition.
I don't even know what that means.
That's the name of the album. Vigilante Shit is the favorite song.
I've heard of neither one of those. See? Oh, Lord. Were you a big Britney fan?
I wasn't until she went batshit crazy.
Okay, now you like Britney.
Oh, she's brilliant. Nah. She's off the reservation, man.
Oh, man. I don't even know where to go with this.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you getting anything Taylor-related for Christmas that you know of?
No, but I am getting a Valtteri Bottas, his naked ass calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So he put out a calendar to raise money for something or other. But
I mean, you guys are basically best friends.
We are. We're tight, man. I tried to get him drunk at Steamboat.
You guys are best friends the way that me and Blevins are best friends.
Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Steamboat is feeding him beer and he had no idea who I was. But he did go, you Irish are all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
thank you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Like, I appreciate that.
Gosh.
So Jan ordered me, he made a calendar that's just pictures of his butt for every month. And so that's the hilarious. Calendar I get.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah.
Okay. Lord. I mean... Are you a bigger fan of Taylor than your daughter?
Yes. Oh, hands down. Yeah.
Doesn't that tell you that something's wrong with that decision?
It's awesome. My daughter's not even a Taylor Swift fan. Yeah. And I have Jennifer, though. She'll listen to Taylor Swift.
She listen to it or will she seek it out?
She'll tolerate it.
Okay. See, that's, I agree with that.
Yeah. But no, she won't seek it out. Yeah.
Yeah. And you weren't the only one, though, that popped up on my...
Isn't that crazy?
That's what I'm saying.
Yep. If you really want to know who people are... Just watch for their Spotify Wrapped at the end of every year.
It will really disappoint you and tell you how much new friends you need to make. okay. Well, we have Zwift written down. We kind of talked about it, but are you a Zwifter? Let's talk about your Zwift and your setup.
Yeah, I am a Zwifter. You know, I'll call it a closet Zwifter. I pretend not to be, but I've come, much like you, to learn to enjoy it. 2 years ago, I rode outside all through the winter. It was miserable. Just like,
there's no reason.
It cold. I hated, sort of, you know, dreaded every ride, you know, got home and sat in front of the fire for an hour just right. to defrost. And so last year I decided I can't do this. And so, I started racing the crits on Zwift just as a way, I got to build fitness without a structured training plan, but fake a structured training yeah. plan. And so I started racing all the crits on Zwift, and it'll sort of, I mean, it'll bring you down to earth in a hurry when you yeah. go, oh, I'm in the C group, easy, no worries. And then you get your ass handed to
crushed
you.
Crushed in the C.
Destroyed. And so, yeah, I've got a pretty good Zwift setup. So I've got Apple TV, 4K one, hooked up to a big screen. And so I'll put Zwift up on that. I can't go on the Zwift and just ride. I have to do a group ride or race. There has to be something to hold my attention for it. And so this year I'll start doing a lot of the group rides, which
I think the group rides are awesome.
They're hard.
Yeah.
I mean, if
they can be as hard as you want them to be.
If you sort of pick one of the B or C group rides, like,
do you do the, with the group leader that are going on 24 hours a day, or do you do like a starts at 4 o'clock group ride?
I'll do the starts at 4 o'clock group ride. Cause those are closer to sort of outside world group rides where, you know, they can surge and you have people going off the front and, you know, people getting dropped. You have people talking shit, and that's probably
the best. I don't understand how people have so much ability to type. Yes. What are they doing? Right. I don't know what their setup is.
Yeah.
To have full typing conversations while they're riding at 250 watts.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing.
So it's crazy how much there is behind, you know, I don't know what you would call it, but like there's people have YouTube channels that'll stream live their Zwift races. And how I discovered this was last year in one of these crit races, I made it onto this Australian guy's YouTube stream and he's on a Discord channel with all of these other people, and I had no idea there was a where they're talking to each other and they have race tactics going on, and my
in a group
In a Zwift race.
Okay.
And my avatar has this giant fro, because that's exactly what looks like me. And so somebody had caught me onto this, and I went and watched it, and they're like talking shit the whole time. And I'm
that's
like,
that's hilarious.
Damn it, I missed out on this.
Huh. I had no idea.
Yep. It's amazing. Yeah. Huh.
Okay.
What's your Zwift setup?
Man, I got it pretty dialed right now.
Yeah.
So I have a whole bike room and it's got everything in there. Maybe I'll post a picture of my bike room. I'll post that on
start that.
Yeah, let's do that. And I'll post it. And if people will send me theirs, I'll post theirs too.
Awesome.
So what's your pain cave look like
for
your bike room? That would be kind of a cool thing. So send that. We'll do that. Mine's pretty good. So, I have a little dresser in there and it has my cycling stuff clothes in it. Then I have a rack that's up next to the wall. It's two stories like you would see in a bike shop. So I have two bikes there, then a bike in front, then a bike sets on the trainer. So the bike never leaves the trainer. It's my cross bike. I don't do cross, so it just stays on the trainer. So I have the climb and the kicker, but those are from the shop whenever I had that. So I'm not fancy. They just came when I closed the shop. Then I have a TV and then my laptop. So if I'm in my I have the LEDs.
Yep.
I have the lights. So when at nighttime, I can turn those on and I have my Bluetooth speaker in front of me. So
nice.
If I'm doing like a hard race or something, it's the races on TV, the speaker's blaring in my face, and we're all in. Oh, and I have a tool cabinet in there.
Oh, nice.
And so, but if I'm doing something casual and chill or just a workout, then I'll leave that on the laptop and watch something like YouTube or something on TV.
Yeah. I did this year breakdown and bought a piece of shit $300 sort of steel frame old road bike to throw on there.
Just leave it on there.
Yep. It's got a triple front chain ring.
Ooh, fancy.
8-speed Shimano Sora.
Fancy.
It's like, this is baller.
That is nice.
But it's perfect for that.
Mine's a 10-speed. Today I had to manually reach down and push it to shift it because it wouldn't shift. Yeah.
Like, shit, it's stuck.
It was stuck in the big ring and I was doing Alpe d'Huez or whatever it is. And I'm like, I can't do this. I can't stand the big chain ring the entire day. This is going to be miserable. So I had to manually push it with my hand.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So I didn't make it, probably won't go back. But yeah, it's a pretty good setup. So I'll take a picture and post that. But yeah, I actually used to like an hour I was fine with.
Yeah.
This time, like for what I'm doing, I'm going to have to get used to it. Plus, it's a good mental training.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm up to an hour and a half pretty easily.
Yep.
And don't mind that.
Yeah.
So next week we're going to try to bump it to 2 hours and just, yeah. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So
if you told me to go get on a trainer and ride for an hour without anything in front of me, no, I couldn't chance. Do it.
No
couldn't
way.
Do it.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do the group rides. I'll do races here and there. I like their workouts are great. So yeah. If you need an over under workout or a
those are
threshold
good.
Workout or sweet spot or something, just pop it in and go. It's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I love it. Taylor Swift. I can't believe I have that on my notes. Well, let's go.
You guys' questions, by the way, are horrible.
They really are. Uh-huh. This one's going to make one person extremely happy that we're bringing it up. And ooh. You wanted to talk about it, and this is going to piss people off.
Oh, brilliant. Let's do it. What is it?
Fake factory teams.
Oh, pet peeve of
mine. I did not send this in. Just FYI.
This was not generated by either you or I. This was a question that was submitted or a statement. Uh-huh.
I'm not going to reveal who sent it in, but I will say that we have the same name. That's all I'm going to say. So you guys figure it out from there. And if he is listening,
too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when people say that they are on a race team,
uh-huh.
It's becoming huge in gravel.
Yep.
It is everywhere in multi-sport. Uh-huh. Not so much in typical road riding or mountain biking.
It really hasn't made it into either of those.
Neither one, really. I don't know why. Yeah,
it did. It tried to make it into mountain biking for a little bit through LEL.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess it hasn't gotten into road because people, they ride for their shop and they think they're on a team there. So right. It's kind of the same thing, but not really. So what we're talking about with fake factory teams is you think you are a sponsored athlete and or rider. Uh-huh. Again, this did not come from me. But I totally understand where this is coming from because I make fun of it all the time.
Uh-huh.
So you have a kit that has a company's name on it and or a hat or a t-shirt that you paid for. You send in an application.
Not only did you pay for that kit.
Right.
You paid to be on that team.
Right. So, but from there on.
Quotes.
You get a discount.
Sure.
And I don't know if you get anything extra if someone uses your code or not. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how it works.
Yep.
I've never been a part of one of these teams. I've never been invited to be one of these teams. But what is your take on that? And or are you actually on a race team?
I'm not on a fake factory race team.
Is it a fake factory race team or is it a real race team?
Yeah. I have been invited on numerous occasions to be on a fake factory race team.
Fancy.
Well, and it's the best conversation because you'll get the invite. Like, okay, wait. You want me to pay to be on your team and then I get to buy the jersey?
Right.
How about you give me that shit for free?
No, not happening. You're not a sponsored rider.
Right.
You're just...
Yeah, you're paying to be on the... And like, it wasn't you pay $20 to be on the team. It was like, you pay $200.
So you pay $200 plus then you buy a kit or the $200 gets you a kit?
$200 gets you on the team and then you get the discount on the kit. But you can then wear the fake factory team kit.
What a deal. So I'm going to pay you $200, but then you're going to give me a discount.
Yes.
To buy the products.
We are missing out here on a business model that apparently works.
We need a Cycling Oklahoma factory race team.
We'll call it the fake factory race team.
Ooh, that's this name. Fake factory team.
Yep. Yeah. Man. And people pay to be on the team.
Okay.
And then they pay for a jersey or kit that's probably really only half the price of what they're actually paying.
I like it.
It's genius.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we're going to queue up some more interest here.
Uh-huh.
How many people would be interested in being on our factory race team?
Yeah.
We want to call it fake factory team?
Fake factory team. And they have to hashtag it.
So it'll take FFT.
Yep.
Okay.
Got to take pictures of themselves in our fake factory team kit.
Uh-huh.
And then hashtag it with FFT.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I definitely think we can get some products. I do too. Some t-shirts, some hats.
Yeah. It's genius.
Maybe a kit. Okay. The FFT 2024 is in I'm actually making notes of this right now. So FFT T24. Okay. That is officially started and is
moneymaker, man.
I mean, I feel like it's probably going to make as much money as this podcast.
Uh-huh.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know what? If you don't like the material, you know.
Too bad.
You get what you pay for. Yeah. Right? Okay. So, fake factory teams coming in 2024.
Genius.
I like it. Light etiquette on group rides.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't say that it was a good one because the guy that sent it in is probably going to be all big headed. That
was he pissy about it?
I think
I'm assuming
he sent in like four things in a row.
Was he or she pissy about it?
No, it's he for sure. Okay. You got that right. He sent in like four things in a row on us asking questions on Instagram of what topic should we be. So I'm guessing that there is some sort of ulterior motive with this.
Yeah.
So asking what your setup is whenever you would do a group ride. So let's just say you're going to ride to the group ride.
Yep.
And you're going to be on busy streets in the normal time of year, whatever, not in this time of year when it gets a little dark on us, but do you normally ride a, have a light on the back, a blinky?
So shameless plug, best piece of kit I've ever purchased, hands down, is a Garmin Varia, the radar with the light. The radar is the, and I didn't think it would be any good. Jan had one for the longest time. I was like, whatever, it's just a fancy light. And then she got a new one that has the camera. And so I took her old one, started using it. And I was like, it's legit the best piece of kit ever. And so just the ability to see when vehicles are coming up alongside you. But if you have a Garmin head unit, it ties to the head unit. And the head unit tells the light, like it's able to detect however fancy it is. If you're riding solo, it does like a solid light, but then if there's cars coming, it blinks at them. And then if you're in a, it detects if you're in a group ride where it goes solid, so it's not just
interesting.
Yeah, it's really well done.
That is cool.
And so it's automatic, so I don't have to change it.
That's nice.
Yeah. But Perkins was bitching at me a couple of weeks ago on the Capitol ride because I put it on manual. So it's just blinding the shit out of him.
Because it was blinking?
Yeah.
Perkins didn't send this in, but this is is a topic that Perkins would send in.
So, yeah. So I'll use that one. And then for a front light on the road, I've got just like a little crappy 800 lumens. Okay. And I'll put it on blinky for the most part until it's dark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in a group ride, what do you think the etiquette is for a back blinky?
It's got to be solid, man. Yeah.
Do you leave it on?
Do I leave it on?
During a group ride?
On low.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yep.
If you're in a group ride, either turn it off
or put it on low. Solid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mountain biking as a group in the dark, no rear lights.
No rear lights.
Do not do it.
No.
Yeah.
No, for sure. And then the, mountain biking at night. What do you, got to have two lights, helmet light and a handlebar light.
Yep. What are you using?
I don't ride at night.
Really?
Saxby, there's a group that does it right now.
Yeah. I did Arcadia.
And they've been rotating to all the trails. I don't like it. I tried it a couple of times, but I've never done it in a full group. So maybe that would make it more fun because it's more lit up.
Yep.
But I don't find enjoyment in it because I feel like I have to slow down so much because I feel like I'm on the edge of hurting myself.
Yeah.
So that's boring. And then I feel like I'm on the edge of hurting myself all the time. So I'm just like tight and I'm just not flowy. And I've done it a handful of times and never. And even when I did the 24-hour mountain bike race, I almost went off the cliff at Caladuro. And after that lap, I'm like, I'm done. I'm going to bed. I don't enjoy it.
See, I got faster at night because it was more relaxed.
I like night gravel riding.
Yeah.
That's my favorite riding I've ever done.
Yeah.
I don't like it on the trail.
It's fun. Yeah. I've got, for mountain biking. So on on the bar light is a, outbound lighting, the Trail Evo. And man, it's like it's like the floodlights at,
I mean, I have Owens, all the lights. I got 1500 lumen lights.
Insanely bright. And then the same for a headlight. And so there's no shortage of light.
Yeah. I just don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think I don't know if it's my old man eyes not seeing well at night or the shadows, and I just don't like it.
Yeah. I will say on group rides though, for lights, like front lights, like when the group pulls over and people turn their bars straight and it's like, don't point your bars at my face.
And if you have one on your helmet, turn it off.
Yeah, do not turn and look at me.
Or turn it way down or something so whenever you look at someone, it doesn't blind them. What other ones are we going to do? Well, one of them that came in was, what kind of pack do you use? So is it Useway?
I think so.
Okay. We'll just call
it that. Let's go with that.
Useway pack or Camelback? Well, because Useway packs are super popular right now. Extremely trendy.
Do you have one?
I do not.
Okay.
But they had just became the sponsor of Cape Epic. So I'm wondering if we get some swag with
that
them.
Would be really cool.
That would be cool swag.
Do you want me to break your heart?
Sure.
Useway packs are the Taylor Swift of packs.
You're not wrong about that. You are not wrong about that.
They really are.
They really, really are.
Uh-huh.
I don't have one.
I do.
Shock.
I know. It's the Taylor Swift of hydration packs.
You should put a Taylor patch on it.
Oh, that's genius. I'll do that.
Okay.
I do have a Camelback as well. Mm-hmm. The Mule, I think, is the biggest one they have.
Okay.
I like the Useway better just because it sits up higher.
Mm. They look super clean.
They really are.
And they look very secure.
I hate hydration packs. I hate wearing them. Always have. Mm-hmm. The Useway is the only one that I can wear for like a long, long race and be like, okay, this feels okay. Mm. And I'll refill it.
Mm.
And like if it was a Camelback, I'd drink it, dump it.
Mm.
And just pick it up later.
Yeah.
But the Useway, I'll keep a refill.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have two Osprey packs.
Yeah.
So I have the one that's like a normal backpack. Uh-huh. I think it's 2 liter water and it has some storage in it and stuff like that. It's a little bit bigger. The one thing I do like about it is it has a way that between the pack and my back, it has like a mesh and a pad. So it breathes a little bit.
Yep.
So it's pretty nice, but it still gets really hot.
Yeah.
And I only use it really on like long mountain bike stuff. So it kind of changes the way you handle a little bit, but I'm not good enough for it to really matter. So it's just usually hot.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's totally fine. The one that I really like the most is I have a Osprey hip pack.
Oh yeah.
And that
Jen is one of those.
That feels significantly better because it's not as hot being on your back and it's around your hips. The two sucky things about having that one.
Yeah.
They must make them for people that weigh well over 400 to 500 pounds because the straps, I have it
huge,
as tight as it will possibly go.
And you're at the end of it.
Yeah. It's like, it won't go any tighter and it's as tight as it needs to be. And I mean, I get that I'm a little person, but I'm not that little.
Right.
That I shouldn't be like maxed out because if you're smaller than me, you're just SOL.
Not hot,
it won't go tight enough.
Yeah.
And so, but it kind of hurts. It doesn't have padding in the way it sits on your hip bones.
Yeah.
Kind of hurts your hip bones. It kind of rubs them raw a little bit. So I don't like that. And then since the thing goes around your waist, the drink nozzle.
Yeah.
It's hard to ride a mountain bike
and reach down
and get it put back on.
Yeah.
So I did see a hack for that. I've made it. I haven't used it since I did it. Was with a, like a retractable key.
Oh, cool. Thing.
You just hook that onto the, and so you never have to, when you let it go, it just
snaps back.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I haven't used that yet, but I have it rigged up.
So have you noticed the, Useway?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The hydration packs are making it into road rides now.
Here's the thing. When I started mountain biking, this is one of the things that I love so much about how cycling changes. When I started cycling, I was a Cat 3. I was not taking my hand off the bars for
anything.
I don't care if it's in the parking lot. I'm not taking my hands off the bars to do anything. So I wore a backpack at every race. Everyone made fun of me. Why are you wearing a backpack? Just use your bottle. Drink when I'm like, no, I'm not taking. It's so much easier. Why do you not use a backpack? This is so much better.
Yep.
They're like, no, it's not. It wasn't cool.
Yeah. Wasn't cool.
It was. I got made fun of for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Because of it.
You were ahead of your time, Ryan.
Basically, I'm a trendsetter.
Uh-huh.
I showed up at the Christmas light ride.
And
people with their damn water packs on their back. And I'm like, we're going 9 miles an hour.
Yep. With a hydration pack.
And it was multiple people with hydration packs on.
Yeah.
For every group ride.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but now it's cool.
It's a cool thing to do. I told you, they're the Taylor Swift of cycling. Hydration packs.
Man, I wonder if... Well, I feel like now that Useway is so cool, I feel like we need Camelback to sponsor our FFT
team. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Is there anybody else that's more on the out than Camelback? Because I feel like Camelback, Osprey are kind of the same because Useway is the cool
one. That's a good question. Who are the cycling companies that are really just sort of on the out now?
That's who we need to find for sponsorships.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Shimano.
Pearl Izumi's in a world of trouble.
Oh, they are. They were owned by Shimano.
Yep.
And they just sold them off.
And they just laid off a ton.
So maybe they could be our apparel sponsor for FFT. Okay. Send in your $200. You will get a 10% discount
on Pearl Izumi.
Pearl Izumi and Camelback. Yep. Man, this is really coming together.
It is. Uh-huh. It's a business plan.
This is a business something. man, we're running out here. So the last two that we have, and we'll tackle both if whatever, Escape Collective lists, which we kind of went over earlier, but yeah, let's talk about that real quick just to kind of wrap that one all up. They came out with Escape Collective. If you don't know who they are, they have a podcast, they have a website,
they're really good,
it's amazing,
it's wonderful.
I love it. Yep. I listen to all their podcasts. Yeah. Well, most of their podcasts.
Yeah. I think the guy's name is Matt, I think. Matt something.
Yeah, there's a handful of them.
Yeah.
And they used to be part of Outside. Well, they were owned by Outside. They were, was it Velo?
Velo, yeah, yeah, that whole
group. And they, yep. Anyways, that whole disaster, they left. They started Escape Collective. Great podcasts. They have like three or four or five of them. Great topics, great conversations.
Website's really good too.
Men's cycling, women's cycling, yeah, tech,
yep,
training, building companies, like all kinds of different. But they came out with a list of top.
They called it the 50 largest influences on American cycling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they had that list. They had their grassroots list.
Yep.
They had top gravel ride mm-hmm. list. So go check them out.
Yeah.
Good conversation.
Yep.
But this one upset several Oklahoma people.
The 50 biggest influencers on American cycling. So if you think about it, right, and some of the people they have on there, you couldn't argue. Of the 50 they picked, that there's a wrong one, mm-hmm. right?
Is it like 50 of all time?
Yes.
Okay.
So, you talk across sort of all the disciplines of mountain bike, road, gravel, you know, downhill, all those things. There's somebody on there sort of representing in that space. So you have, you know, Gary Fisher's on there.
Lance on there?
He was not.
He has to be on there.
Again,
that's ridiculous.
And I think that's the funny thing about these lists is you can argue about who should and shouldn't be on there. Lance
has to be on the list.
He is not on the list.
I'm going to try to look this up while we're talking, but yeah, keep talking.
Tom and Stuart Walton are on there.
How is Lance Armstrong not on the list and the Waltons are?
Yeah.
They've been around in cycling for like 5 years.
Yeah, and so
And granted, they've done amazing things
but
for this part of the country.
Yeah. Yeah,
ridiculous.
And there's like Kate Courtney's on there. There's a bunch of Lachlan Morton's on there.
How's he a U.S.
Influence on American cycling? Not necessarily U.S.
That's a stretch.
But when you talk about the gravel scene, right, and sort of OG gravel, mm-hmm. You know, there's a handful of folks that's on there, but there's sort of the big, you know. There's nobody from Oklahoma on that list. And if you go way back, it's, you know, obviously, you know, Bobby being one of the original OGs of gravel. I mean, the dude's in the Gravel Hall of Fame, right? Mm-hmm. And you think, okay, for sure, major influence in the gravel scene in the U.S., but did not make that list.
That's it. So the guy that started Dirty Cans on there?
Whatever
it's called.
Leyland Danes. Uh-huh. Yeah, he is on there.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I don't really have a dog in this fight, but I mean, I feel like Kansas and
Dirty Kansas and
Mid-South
and Land Run. Yep. Yeah. Those were the two that started the whole thing.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Yeah. But yeah, the list is fascinating.
Well, I have the list here and they said what it's not. It's not the most popular, most powerful, most race wins, historic figures no longer act like involved, blah, uh-huh. blah, blah. I mean, there's people on here. I cannot believe the Waltons are number four.
I know. Yeah.
What the heck? So go to escapecollective.com. You can see this. I pulled it up on their Instagram.
You can search
for it. Like a co-founder of Strava, 100% agree.
Yep.
Like that's legit. Tour de Femmes, totally get it. Yeah, I mean, there's some really big names on here. But this is ridiculous.
Yep. Rebecca Rush. Axel Merckx, all those folks, like, okay, yep, that's uh-huh. that's legit.
I mean, the Finneys,
Jim, Jim Cummings and Joel Dike again. Mm-hmm. And it says, while Unvine was not the first gravel race, its founders captured the imagination of the nation.
Huh. So yeah. I wonder why you think that they left. I mean, Bobby can be a polarizing figure, but the guy that created Dirty Kanza
got,
he got fired.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Comments.
Yep.
So, and Bobby's never made comments that have been in a negative way.
No.
I mean, it may rub people the wrong way, his beliefs and or stand on social issues.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't care what you think about Bobby. He's got to have one of the, he's the biggest influence in gravel cycling.
Yep.
To get, as far as getting it started.
Yeah.
And his events, one of the original big events.
Yeah.
If you, and it's stronger than ever.
Yeah. If you talk about sort of people who shaped the gravel scene in the U.S.
He's got to be at the top of that.
To where it is today, right?
He has to be top five.
He's in the top three for sure.
Sure.
For sure. And locations, right? If you talk about name locations that, you know, really shaped the gravel world in the U.S., mm-hmm. it's Emporia mm-hmm. and Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Which is so weird.
Uh-huh.
The two tiniest little towns.
Yeah.
And they just,
yep.
weird.
Both of which have colleges. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Emporia State. Yeah.
And interesting.
Yeah, OSU. Both small colleges.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So, okay. That's an interesting one. But yeah, go look at that list, because the people, half of them on there, I've never even heard of.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them on there that the names, like, are like.
Societies, oh, okay. Or like groups that they founded and yep. stuff like that. All right. Last topic. And this was one that came in from someone else who has my same first name, maybe the same person who would. Started the FFT movement. Qualifying for a world championship and or a national team.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And we're going to wrap up on this one, because we're probably going to get... I'm sure someone's going to be canceling us after today.
This is awesome.
Probably going to cancel us because I made fun of Taylor, but this is another topic. So, how do you feel about qualifying for a national team, in quotes, and or a world or national event?
It should be the pinnacle of the sport discipline.
100%.
Whatever it is should be the pinnacle of that sport or discipline, mm-hmm. and should be the hardest thing to qualify for.
So do you feel that if they don't fill up their roster, that they should just go with an empty roster?
Ooh.
Or should it roll down until they get people that will go and represent that country?
Was the Jamaican bobsled team the pinnacle of the people of that sport
in Jamaica?
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, they got a movie made about them.
They did. They uh-huh. were geniuses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
so I'll tell the story uh-huh. of UCI Gravel World Championships. Mm-hmm. They thought it'd be a great idea to hold these qualifiers. One of them they held out in Fayetteville, Arkansas, right? Mm-hmm. And got really poor numbers to show up. So, and the way the qualification system was built, it was age group based.
Okay.
Very small increments of age group based. So basically, if you finished, there was a high likelihood that you were qualifying for a world championship race, mm-hmm. according to UCI. Mm-hmm. And so there's a great story of these three guys showed up in the men's 40 to 49, no, it was 45 to 49 mm-hmm. age group. They rode, they didn't race, they rode together out in Fayetteville in flannel shirts and old Surly bikes, and they qualified for the world championship. Now, did they do it as sort of a, you know, a jab at this uh-huh. structure of the system? 100%. But they still qualified for the world championship race in Italy.
Mm.
And so they were the USA's representatives.
So do you think that they should have been a representative for USA?
Based on
Team USA gravel.
Based on who the rest of the world sent? No.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. I think it's part of being a part of a factory team that you pay for.
Exactly.
I think it's a very similar thing.
Yes.
And I kind of don't have anything to add to this, because...
Is it the same in triathlete world?
That is a topic. Man, you are going to get me crushed after this.
Uh-huh.
So I will say... I greatly benefited from this year.
Did you wait?
Because that's how I got to go to Hawaii with Lindsay.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
She got a roll down spot.
Oh, you're in trouble, dude.
Oh,
you're in so much trouble.
I know. And she actually listens to this crap. So, so she got a roll down spot. She did Ironman Arizona in November. A couple months later, she got an email. Hey, you got a roll down spot. If you would like it, you can have it. The fact that she got it a couple months later is crazy.
Yeah.
But basically what happened, for anyone that doesn't know, Iron Man has always had the world championships in Kona. It's 2,500 athletes split between men and women. There's a little bit more men than women. After COVID, they did a catch up. So they split the field and did the women on Thursday of last year in 23 or 22 and the men on Saturday to get everybody through the system that had deferred because of COVID.
Yep.
So then Iron Man realized, huh, we can make a lot of money if we do this all the time.
Yeah.
The city of Kona and the island said, screw off. Yeah. There's too many people. We don't like it. Go away. So instead of canceling it, they said, we're going to split. So the men this year went to Nice, France, and had their world championships there. And the women were in Kona.
Yeah.
And then this year, the men are in Kona, next year, they flip flop it. So they're going to do that for the next 4 years or 5 years. Well, filling up the men's side, there's so many more men that race.
Yeah.
It's not as hard.
Yeah.
But for the women's side, it's just not as competitive and there's just not as many women racers.
Yeah.
So to get 2,500 women that will pay $10,000 roughly, it can cost more or less, go to Hawaii and race in a race. I mean, that's a big ask to find. And so they started just rolling it down. There was a handful of events where, and used to be up until like 2 years, this year.
Yeah.
Basically you had to win and or get like top two or three in your age group, depending on how many people are in your age group is how many spots were available.
Yep.
But usually you had to go like top two in your age group to get into Kona.
Yeah.
And it would roll down maybe one or two spots.
Yep.
But you basically had to go top five to have any shot, which is ridiculously hard to do.
Yeah.
You basically have no chance.
Yeah.
You better be elite.
Yeah.
Well, this year
they changed it.
It was like, man, we got to give people spots. So Lindsay finished like, I don't remember. She finished like maybe high mid 20s in her age group. So not bad.
Right. That's pretty good. Yeah.
She did good, especially for her first one. You know, and she got a roll down spot. There were some people who finished dead last in their age group. Dead last. Last finisher of the entire event got spots to Kona.
USA representative, man. USA representative.
I can't get on board for that. I can't. I think the event, I understand they're there to make money. That is not a world championship event if you have someone who is the last finisher in a race coming to your world championships. It becomes a... And I was there. I went. It was a magical week. It was a magical event for a huge number of people who had never been able to experience this.
Yeah.
Never get to see Kona. Never get to do that race course.
Yep.
They had a great time. I had an amazing time when I was there. I understand all of that. So don't come at me with all this cancel crap and like say like I'm just being a jerk or an elitist or whatever you want to call me. I experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
I was the beneficiary of it. I had a great time. Lindsay had a once in a lifetime experience.
Yeah.
She loved it. I watched a bunch of people cross finish line who again, never would have gotten to come there.
Yep.
I don't think that should be considered the world championships and, or you should qualify for a world championship in that way.
Yeah. I think if Ironman, Kona, whoever, and you know, I'll call it the real gravel worlds that happens up in Lincoln, Nebraska every year. It's cool to have people come do it if you want to come enter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But understand that at the pointy end, there will be elite racers, and that's really where the sort of, you know, the pointy end of the race is. And that's where a world championship's decided, right? But and it's okay to say that.
Yeah, 100%.
But I think there's a little bit of the, you know, participation award thing going on.
Yep.
Of you can represent the US of A or whatever. I don't think anybody else in the world does it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, it will, you know, you pay and you can wear a USA jersey to go do it. And there's probably some folks that have represented the USA, their country, over the years that may believe that's taken a little bit of the shine off of what they had to do
for sure
to get there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the people that worked for years and finally make it happen, and now they have the same story and or experience that somebody else
Yep.
That just like didn't die gets to have.
Right. Yeah. Because why is that different than Olympic qualification?
Right.
It's a very different picture, right?
Right.
So those, you know, the same folks that are going to show up out in, at a Fayetteville knowing, hey, I'm going to qualify for a world championship in this discipline. If it was Olympics, there's not a chance right. in hell you would qualify.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the times that I went to Worlds for a multi-sport, I got a roll down spot. I didn't finish. I had a great race and I didn't finish in the top 20.
Yeah.
I think at that time it was top 15 you had to be. And I didn't, I had a great, great day. I went to Milwaukee, and did a sprint, didn't qualify.
Yeah.
I think I finished like around 20th, 22nd, something like that. I got a roll down spot. I went to Worlds. It was a blast. It was great, but they only had it rolled to 25, and that was it. And if they didn't fill the spots, they didn't fill the spots.
Right.
So I see having roll downs.
Yeah.
I think they should have an end to it. If they don't fill the field, I understand that maybe they don't, the event doesn't make money, and it's a whole thing.
I get
that. The best are still going to win the race.
Right.
They still are competing with the best. These other people get to have these experiences. I understand all that stuff.
Yep.
It's just strange to call it a world championships when people who finish events get to go.
Right. There is a space for both to happen in the same event, right? Mm-hmm. Of you can have an event that you can call it a world championship, mm-hmm. but don't try to paint this brush on it that, you know, all these nations are being represented. And,
okay, so let me ask you this, because I see this posted often.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, I'm really digging myself in here. If you go to a world championship, let's say you go, they're going to say that Tour Divide is the bikepacking world championship next year. Okay,
yep.
You go.
Yeah.
You finish, there's 1,000 people that do it.
And I finished 999th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you the 999th best bike packer in the world?
Damn right I am.
Okay, let's move it up a little bit. Let's say you finish 50th.
Yeah.
Are you the 50th best bicycle rider in the world?
No, you're not.
You were 50th in that event.
Yeah.
That's it. Because it really, truly wasn't the top 1,000 people in the world.
Right. Right.
The Olympics is the top people in the world.
And you could argue there that are you getting the top people in the world? Yes. You're probably still missing out on
for
folks,
sure.
Right? That's normal with any elite sport, uh-huh. Right? You know, the minute and this is my so well you're getting me on a on a rant and a rabbit hole here. Uh-huh. So, this is a complete sidebar. Uh-huh.
Okay.
The minute you create a pay-to-play model
uh-huh.
in a sport, you eliminate a certain population mm-hmm. of what could be potential athletes, right?
Okay.
And the best example I have of it, because I've grew up in it in Europe where it was the opposite, but then had my kids grow up in it here, is pay-to-play in soccer, mm-hmm. right? So you have this pay-to-play model where it's you as a family pay a fee mm-hmm. for your kid to play soccer, and it is not a small fee.
Yeah,
right. It is.
My brother went through it with baseball.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's exorbitant, right?
Yes.
And there are folks who simply can't afford that, right? But their kids are, you know, they excel at these sports at these athletic events. Mm-hmm. In Europe, it's the opposite. So they have development academies that go out into communities to find these kids. And then they pay the families travel for those kids to come and train, to come and develop in these different sports.
So is that why European soccer is so much better than U.S. soccer?
Of course it is. It's why European cycling is so much better than U.S. cycling, mm-hmm. right? Is the barrier to entry is way lower.
Interesting.
So hence my anti-lifetime thing, right? Uh-huh. Is you create this barrier to entry of cost, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's Ironman's the same. What is the cost to do? What's the actual cost? What do you pay to go to an Ironman event?
I want
to
say the low-end ones are around $750-$800 are the low-end ones. And I think Kona is $1,200-$1,500
wow.
for entry fee.
That's bananas.
Bananas. And yeah. Now, last year, because I went last year with Smoke and Bryce and did the whole team thing, they didn't get crap for swag.
Like, yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
This year she got loaded up with swag.
Good.
Like, she got a lot of cool stuff. So I would say she got some of it back, but it's ridiculous that it's like $1,200 to $1,500 for an entry fee.
Yeah. So the question there becomes, is it really the best athletes that are there or
no?
Is it,
because it's people that finish last, and a reason it rolls down to them
and can pay the entry
is
fee
because it's gonna be And yeah. And if you're going to Hawaii,
right,
and you have a spouse, you're not leaving them behind.
Uh-huh. No, hell no. Yeah.
And if you have kids that are 12,
yeah,
probably not leaving them behind.
They're coming too.
So now it's going to be a $15,000 trip for a family of four.
Uh-huh.
Because let me tell you how prices are in Kona on race week. Through the roof. Like, it's already expensive to be in Hawaii, but then there's no hotel rooms.
Yeah.
So think of how expensive those are. Like, it's out of control. Yeah, it's wild. But yeah, there's no way that there's a lot of really fast people that don't get to go to do events because it's way. But I understand it's capitalism and it's the way the world that we live in, and that's it is what it is. I totally get that.
Yep. So for fake factory team, are we setting an entry requirement of you've got to be able to afford Kona?
Well, that's about what our entry is going to be to pay for to get on the team.
Oh, yeah.
We have to make money out of this.
Oh, that's what we do is we make money off the fake factory team so we can go do those events.
Right.
Yeah.
That way we'll be we will be sponsored athletes.
Yes.
By all the
fake factory team members. That's what they're doing.
Teammates.
Yeah, teammates.
Teammates.
With your teammates.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Ours. Yeah.
And we'll ride with them like once a year or something.
Yeah. Well, I can probably cut and paste a generic training plan together off of Zwift.
Genius.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe we'll ride with them on Zwift once a year.
That's what we'll do. That way we don't have to like meet up and like actually talk to them.
Oh, brilliant.
We'll do Zwift rides.
Awesome.
Dude, this has been a very profitable and prosperous.
Yep.
Year-end wrap-up.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would like to add? God, we've gone a long time. Is there anything that you would like to add to wrap up the end of the year or for the start of next year?
I don't think so. If folks want us to continue doing these, just tell us. Mm-hmm. We're not going to listen to you anyway. Yeah. Another one where we're going to get canceled.
The three people that listen probably are going to be pissed about this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I always get messages from people of going, I'm listening to you in the car and you guys are so full of shit.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Yep. And next time I'm bringing whiskey. And so we'll really get it going.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. That's good. So
good stuff.
Good stuff. Thanks for doing this and have a good holiday.
Awesome. Same.
Awesome.
See ya.